we're going to do something that we're going to do that's going to be different than any other day of the year. Because as I said, this year mostly we're going to be just learning through Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Shach, Taz. We want to understand Hilchos Nida, but just the minhag olam is you're supposed to give a shir psicha. So the shir psicha, the topic you have to talk about before you begin to learn Hilchos Nida, is what exactly is the Isra of Nida. I mean, what do I mean? What exactly is the Isra of Nida? How are we magdir the Isra of Nida? What is the gedder? What is the definition of what category of halacha? That's the better way to put it. What category of halacha does Hilchos Nida belong in? If you look in the Chumash itself, it seems that there are four dinim that relate to Hilchos Nida, that relate to Nida. Din number one, the Chumash tells us, is that the woman herself is an Av Hatuma, and she is Metame Taharos as a result of that. Right? An Av Hatuma is Metame other things. Halacha number two, and as an Av Hatuma, she's like a Nida Zava Yoledes, the Metame Mishkav Moshav, right? She has a very high level of Tuma. Halacha number two is that there's an Isser Bia with a Nida, and you chayv kares for that Bia. So aside from being an Av Hatuma, the Torah is very clear that there's an Isser Bia with a Nida, and there's a chayv kares with a Nida, like Arayos, like any other Arayos, where you would have a chayv kares. Daf Yomi is learning Krisis now, and this is, the first mission Krisis goes through the 39 things that you chayv kares for. So Nida is something that you chayv kares for. The third halacha of Hilchos Nida is that the dam itself is metameh, and the dam itself is an avatuma. So not only is a woman an avatuma, the dam is an avatuma. And this is an unusual thing. Normally, when something is metameh somebody, the total sayin or lav keyotze behem. When you have a rishon lutuma that's metameh something, that which it was metameh becomes a sheni lutuma. It always goes down a level. Yet, when it comes to zav, zava, nida, the actual liquid that comes out of the body is an avatuma, and the person remains, and the person becomes an avatuma. So, which gives you the distinct impression that the person is not becoming tame because they touched that liquid, but rather it's a tuma hayotze lof migufo. It's a tuma that emanated from their body, and just by virtue of that event happening in their body, they've become an avatuma. So it's not that they became tame from the dam, from the ziva. They became tame because they had dam and ziva, but the dam and ziva are independently tame. The blood itself is tame. And then there's a fourth halacha relating to tumas nida, and that is that a boel nida, someone who has bia with a nida, is also tame, like a nida, which is unusual. You touch a nida, you're not tame like a nida. That would be the normal transmission of tuma going down a level. But a boel nida, if it's more than just touching, a boel nida is tame like a nida. That too is clear in the psukim in the Torah. So those are the halachas of nida in the Torah. You'll know three out of those four halachas are very clearly halachas of tuma and tara. They belong in Seder Taras and they don't belong in Shulchan Aruch. Right? Three out of those four halachas. The one halacha that belongs in Shulchan Aruch that we have all of these simanim in Shulchan Aruch about is the halacha about the fact that she's usher in bia, that no one is allowed to have bia with a nida. That's a chiv kares to have bia with a nida. So what we're going to talk about today is what is the nature of that halacha? Is that similar to the halacha that a tamei person can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, which clearly belongs in the realm of tuma and tahara? Or is this, no, it's not a tuma and tahara issue. There's tuma and tahara, that's true, that exists by nida, there's no denying it, but there's tam, a separate isser, there's an isser of bia with a nida. L'maynaf kamina, whether it's a tuma and tahara issue or whether it's an isser of a heter issue, what would be the classic nafkamina with something's tuma and tahara or isser of a heter? Safek, right? So there are three categories of Torah. There's tuma of tahara, there's isser of a heter, and there is, what's the third one? Dini Maminis, those are three basic categories of Torah, and the way to distinguish them, the easiest way to distinguish them, is what you do in the situation of Safek. When you have a Safek and Isser V'Heter, so very clear, that's the famous rule every high school kid knows, right? Safek and Isser V'Heter is Safek Daraisa, L'Chomro, Safek Darabam L'Kula. Safek in Dini Maminis, that's Hamozi Mechavera L'Varaya, Maminu Mutful Safek Cholkin, well, let's say Hamozi Mechavera L'Varaya, right? Safek in Tumen Tahara, Savitum Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Tahar, Savitum Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Tameh. Where do we know that from? So it's a Rosh Hashanah is Tameh. Sota, right? We derive it from Sota. Ay, Sota's not Tumah. Okay, but the Torah calls it Tumah. That's what the Gemara says in Masechet Sota. Good. So the question over here is, how do we deal with a Safik Nida? Is Safik Nida Safik Daraisa L'chumra? Or is Safik Nida going to be Safik Tumah? And therefore, if it's the Safik comes up in Rosh Hashanah, tell him. So how do you deal with Safik Nida? So this seems to be a Machlokas. The Shev Shmaitza in Shmaita Aleph, the end of Parak Yud Beis, quotes a sefer Zichron Yosef, Tshuva Zichron Yosef, that Svek Sveka be Isser Nida, Lebaila is Asr Mida Oraisa, even by Svek Sveka. Now, normally Svek Sveka, because obviously the Shmaitza deals with all these issues of Svekos and Svek Svekos, normally Svek Sveka and Oraisa is Lekula, right? There's a Machlokas Rishonim why that's the case, that a Svek Svek on a Daraisa is Lekula. You know, the Pnei Yeshua has that beautiful explanation that Safik Daraisa Lechumra, if you assume, like the Sheet in Rishonim, that Safik Daraisa Lechumra is only a Din Midrabanan, so then Svek Svek on a Daraisa is really a Safik Drabanan. Right? If the first Safik Daraisa Lechumra is only Din Drabanan, so having a Safik on Safik Daraisa Lechumra is only a Safik Midrabanan. Whatever the svar is, whether it's a super rove or whether it's based on Safik Drabanan Kula, whatever the svar is, Svek Svek in this Veheter is Mutin. So what would you say by Svek Sveka by Nida? So if you're going to follow rules of Isra Veheter, it should be Mutin. But if you're going to follow rules of Tumentara, I don't care how many Svekas you have, there's only one question you have to ask yourself in Tumentara, and that is what? Right? If it's something to Rosh Hashanah, Tahar, something to Rosh Hashanah, Tameh. That's it. That's the whole question. So, the Shev Shmaitz, a quote from the Zichron Yosef, Svek Sveka be Isanida, Lebaila is Asr Mita Oraisa, be Rosh Hashanah, because we treat it like a Safik Tumah. On the other hand, Tosfos Mavakama seems to say not that way. Tosfos Mavakama Daf Yud Aleph is Mekel on a Svek Sveka beneath the Lebaila. Leaving out all the details of mitzvah shul yibalov lad, in mitzvah shul yibalov lad, what Tosfos seems to be, the assumption that Tosfos seems to be working with, for time's sake, we'll leave out some of the details. But the assumption Tosfos seems to be working with is that if you can make it a case of a svek sveka, then it's going to be mutter for nida labayla. It's going to make it mutter nida labayla. If it's only one sapik, it's going to be aser. Svek sveka is going to be mutter. Clearly assuming that we treat nida not like tumah but like yisur v'heter, right? That's the assumption of Tosfos. Now, this explanation of Tosfos that it's clearly about isur v'heter and not nida labayla is suggested by the Shmaitza over there. It's suggested by the Nadav Yehuda in Madura Tinyana Yardeas in Mekuv Chaf, and this seems to be suggested by the Aspen Daraisa of Yosef Engel in Klal Chaf Aleph. What about a Sota? You know, what would you hold by Svek Sveka by Sota? So what is Sota? Is Sota really Tum or is it a Svehater? Is Sota Tame? It's not Tame at all, right? There's no Tumma. So there's no Tumma by Sota. And it's clearly the Baila, and yet we're Machmir by Svek Sveka by Sota. Right? We're Machmir by Svek Sveka, meaning we follow rules of Tumentara. So you have to say, yeah, but Sota is different. You can't bring Sota into the discussion. Because Sota, even though it's clearly only Isser V'heter, we learn all the rules of Safik Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yachid from Sota because the Torah goes out of its way to call it Tumah. So Sota, the Torah highlights it as an exception to Isser V'heter and as the paradigm for Tumentara, even though it's so very clearly not Tumentara. So you can't ask any kashas from Sota. So it's a sort of, for whatever reason, it's singled out by the Torah as being different. And it turns out, according to Tosfos, you can have such a thing as a nida l'chatzoy. Just to show how strong Tosfos is separating the Tumah element of nida from the Isser V'heter element of nida. What happens if you have a case of a woman who's a svek sveka, whether she's a nida? So what would you say? She touches truma. Is the truma tame or is the truma tahar? If she's a svek sveka, On whether she's a nida, so the truma is going to if it's Bereshus Hayachid, the truma is going to be tameh. And what happens if her husband sleeps with her? Halacha is tahor, mutter. That's fine. Meaning, here you have a situation where you have the same woman that, yes, you're in Nida as far as Tumah and Tahara is concerned, according to Tosfos, but you're not in Nida as far as Baila is concerned. I mean, that's how separate these halachos are. The fact that both of these halachos are true of a Nida is not a reflection at all of them being a function of each other. They're not a function of each other. You can actually have one of these halachos without the other.
The Baal will become Tameh, though.
That's a good question. As a Boel Nida. So you have to go through the lumdus of what a Boel Nida is. Is a Boel Nida, is the Tumah a function of the Isser of Boel Nida? Or is it just a function of Tumas Nida that she has? That's a good question. But that's not Pasha to me at all. I mean, that's a good question. But you see that Tosfos holds this. So far we have two models, right? You have the possibility that it's purely a function of Tumah. Everything is a function of Tumah. And you have this idea that it's a function of, that Isser Labayla is a function of Isser Veheter that has absolutely nothing to do with Tumah. There's also a third possibility, which is somewhere in the middle. Yeah?
Regardless of whether or not he's going to have becoming like Anita for being Boel or in this situation, he has to be Tame like anyone else who's no Gaya.
Yeah, and also he's a Balkari, but that, you know, those are lighter levels of Tumah. So that's not going to require 7 days. You know, it'll be a much lighter level of Tumah. Now, there is a third possibility. Third possibility is that the Isser only kicks in when she's Mamish Tumah. When in Hilchos Tumah, you're going to declare Tumah. But we treat the Isser with the rules of Isser Veheter. We don't treat the Isser with the rules of Tumah and Tahara. Meaning it could be that if you're going to say that when she touches Truma, it's fine, the Truma's Tahora, it could very well be that there can't be a problem with the husband. Right? And if you're going to tell me that she's Tameya, it could very well be she can't possibly be Muteris Labayla. She only becomes Muteris Labayla when she's Tamei, and if she's not Tamei, she's totally Mutter to her husband. And in that sense, it's very much tied to her Tuma. But I'm still going to follow rules of Isser Veheter in general when it comes to Nida. Not when it comes to determining her status, but maybe if you have a suffix, whether he was Boel Nida or something like that. Meaning it could be that it's Isser Veheter, but it's still purely dependent on her status of Tumah. And we'll have to see. Maybe there are other nafkaminas, whether it's Isser Veheter or something else. Meaning, if it's Isser Veheter, let's say this as nafkamina. If it's Isser Veheter, what kind of Isser Veheter is this? How serious of an Isser Veheter is this? What kind of aveira? What category do you put it under? Right, so this is arayos mistana. If it's arayos, so then yahard val yava. Right? If it's just don't become tameh, then there's no don't become tameh that's yahard val yava. If it's a rayos, it's yahri val yava. So it could be that her tumah is what makes the halachos of Isser Veheter kick in, but then it becomes Isser Veheter. Nothing I just said is pashut. We're going to have to see. Even if it is Isser Veheter, it's not pashut that it's a rayos. We'll have to, there's some discussion about that, yeah. Yeah, meaning certainly as far as all the Tumah and Tahara halachos, you know, that's for sure in the world of Tumah and Tahara. The whole question is as far as her husband's concerned, right? Is that also in the world of Tumah and Tahara? So Rav Yosef Engel has a famous piece on this in Klal Chafa Aleph, and if you count through Rav Yosef Engel, he essentially has seven rayas. Now the problem with Rav Yosef Engel's rayas is that if you ever read Rav Yosef Engel in general, in Asvan Daraisa and Lakachtov, he's even in Beis Otzar, what he likes to do is he comes up with a topic, and he had an unbelievable hekif of Kala Torah Kula. He's a super duper genius. Nigla, Nistar, everything, and it was all like at his fingertips. Like he'll bring Ryans from everywhere. So like he'll come up with an idea, a topic, and then he'll say, is there such a concept in Yiddishkeit? I could think of 22 Ryans. And then he'll just like go through all of Shas and Poskim and come up with 22 rayas, Rishonim, Achronim, everything. The problem is, it's very not brisk, because like at the end, He doesn't like say, I have 10 rayas this way, 12 rayas that way, but that's because they're tzvei dinin, and those 10 rayas are about that, then that, and like, now, you know, he doesn't do that. It's just like, no, I don't know. You know, here's all the rayas, you know, see what you do with it. So he's got 7 rayas, and, you know, here, and he just like leaves it for us without really being miyashev. So, but it's interesting to go through his rayas. The first raya he brings is from the Tosfos Baba Kama that we already said. Right, the Tosfos Baba Kama is very clearly seems to be assuming Nida Labaila is Isser Vehetir. It's not Tumantara. Another raya that he brings, and I'm not going in order, the Gemara Yevamos Nundal Ramad Aleph learns the concept of Ha'ara'a by all Arayos. Ha'ara'a means Tchilas Bia, the beginning of the process of Bia. I'm not going to get into the details right now. I don't think it's necessary to get so graphic right now. Shikas Eiver, Rachnas Satara, or whatever Hara is, whatever the beginning of Bia is, the Gemara says we learn its status from Nida, through Memetzin. So the Gemara says, oh, but wait, Mala Nida Shkei Metame is Boela. But Nida is different because Nida's Metame, her Boel, as opposed to other Isure Bia, are not Metame the Boel. But what just the attempt, says Rav Yosef Engel, to be malamid from Nida to other bios asuros tells you that Nida is Issur V'Hetir, because normally you can't learn from Tumah Tahara to Issur V'Hetir, right? You can only learn within each category of halacha. So even the attempt to learn from one to the other tells you that it's Issur V'Hetir. Of course, the rejection of that raya is nope. That was the Gemara's answer. Right? The Gemara says Mal Nida Shkin Metamez Ba'ala. What does the Gemara mean by that? Perhaps what the Gemara means by that is, don't bring me a raya from Nida to Issur V'Hetir. Nida's mitame is Boala. Nida's a din in Tumah. Rav Yosef Engel thinks that's a raya for Issur V'Hetir. Another raya Rav Yosef Engel brings. Tosfos Maseches Gittin, Daf Beis on Beis, tells us in the beginning of Kevin Gittin, the beginning of Maseches Gittin, Eidech HaNemen B'Yisurin. How do I know Eidech HaNemen B'Yisurin? Right, you go home, for those of you who are married, you spend a long day learning in the Kailal, and your wife cooks you dinner, and you say, thank you so much, oh wow, my favorite dinner, and you say, oh, just one thing before I eat it, did Mashkiach come today? What Mashkiach? I can't trust you, you're only an Eidecha, you know, and you're a woman, right? So like, meaning, I'm saying that you didn't eat this right, so I can't trust you that the food is kosher. I need edus that the food is kosher. No, you don't need edus over here. Davar shebi'erva, you need edus. You need edus with dinei mamnis. Eidechad is nemen v'yisurin. Someone tells you food is kosher, you only need an eidechad. Really, strictly speaking, you walk into a store and they tell you, yeah, the owner of the store tells you, yeah, the food here is kosher. Strictly speaking, mekar din, if the person is a religious Jew, is an eid ne'eman, right? So you're allowed to believe them. There used to be a store, I don't even know if it still exists, I didn't look around the neighborhood yet, across the street from MTA, there used to be a bodega that I don't know if it exists anymore. Yeah, it's still there. So the guys who ran the bodega used to tell all the MTA boys, everything in bodega kosher. So, you know, and the MTA boys innocently believed them, you know, that everything in bodega must be kosher. So those beef jerkies were, they have no ne'emanus. Why do they have no ne'emanus? Because they're not named ne'eman b'chlal. So the Gemara says, oh, no, how do I know Eidech is Nem B'Yisurin? Tosfos Maseches Gittin says, the din of Eidech Nem B'Yisurin, Tosfos writes, is derived from Nida. Because what happens? A woman becomes a Nida. We're going to learn all about the different processes she has to go through. But let's say, at the very least, if she's a Zava Gadola, V'Safrala, she's going to have to count Shiva Nekiyim. So who's monitoring that she's counting the Shiva Nekiyim? I don't know if she did or she didn't. V'Safrala, La'atzma. She counts for herself, and the Torah trusts that she did it. You don't need anyone to monitor it. So you see from there that Eidech HaNeman B'Yisurin. So it seems pretty clear that Tosfos works with the assumption that it's a Sevetir, which is fine and good, because that's Tosfos L'Shitasim. Right? That it's a Sevetir. That's another raya. Another raya that Rav Yosef Engel quotes, and this generates a lot of discussion, it is quoted in the Avnei Nezer and Ebenezer Simon Rishon as well. And this is one of Shachta loves to quote, the Kuzari. The Kuzari in Maimar Gimel Simon Mem Tes, Rav Yosef Engel quotes. What happened? What's the Sefer Kuzari? Anyone ever learned Kuzari? How does it go? Rosh Hashanah used to say, when I open up my Kuzari, it just opens up right to that page. It's the only Kuzari he ever read. but how does it work? What's the Kuzari? It's written with a literary style, interesting literary technique. It's a conversation, right? Where Judaism is sort of like put on trial. Yeah, how do you explain this? How do you explain that? So the Melech keeps asking the Chacham, right? So he says, I don't understand you guys. What's going on with this Nida business? I thought you don't do Tumen Tara anymore. Pretty intelligent question, right? So I thought you don't do Tumen Tara. What's going on with Nida? That's the mice, I think Rabbi Neuberger said, when they first built a mikveh in Tinek, they had to get zoning. So they had to go in front of the zoning board. And the members of the board kept on asking them, one member in particular was like giving them such a hard time. What is going to be happening there? Well, it's a ritual bath. What happens at the ritual bath? People bathe. There's a shower. It's clean. We promise. You know, like the whole. They didn't know what the guy wanted. Like, what are you looking for? He's like, do you slaughter birds there or do you not slaughter birds there? And I'm like, what's slaughtering birds? What are you talking about? He says, it says in Leviticus that you slaughter birds. Right? His Avgadol has to bring karma. So he assumed that you're going to be slaughtering birds. So in the Kuzari, he raises that question. I understand. Where's the slaughtering birds? Why are you still doing this Nida business? So Kuzari writes, Amar HaChaver, the Chaver says, Hatuma v'akadusha bezin yanim zekeneged zeh, lo yimatzeh echad el biyimatzeh hasheni. Tuma and Kedusha are two sides of the same coin. And when there's no Kedusha, there's no Tuma. Umakum shein kedusha in tuma ki inyan atuma einenu ki im davar she'asar al bailov lingoa bedavar midivrei hakedusha mashu umakedusha lukim kama kohanim umachalam umalbusham vatrumos vakarbonos. Notice all the isurim of tuma relate to holy things. There's an isur of tuma and truma and kachim and beis hamikdash and kohanim. These are all holy elevated things. Vizula seharbe, many other examples. V'chein inyan hakadusha davar sha'asal b'aylov lingoa b'dvarim rabim yadum for samin v'romayim shem tuliyim b'mamen hashchina. And then he goes on to say, where is it? Ukvar asarnu was umash nimtza hayom iser shchivas nida v'yoledes. The fact that we have nida nowadays ain't mipnei hatuma avli mitzvah grei d'mei sabori. It's just a mitzvah mei sabori. It's a mitzvah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what is the Kuzari telling us? That the Isra Labaila has nothing to do with Tumma. Haraya, the husband is chulin. Right? All these Surum of Tumma relate to Truma or Hegdish or something. The husband is chulin, he's just a regular guy. So you see that the whole thing is only the Isra Labaila is not a din in Tumma and Tara. That's the Kuzari. In Chalkas Yoav, Chalkas Yoav was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. He's most commonly quoted, I think, probably from his little kuntrus that he has on the Kavod de Kashiasa, the 103 questions that he asks. It was a good gimmick. He wrote a sefer of 103 questions that the only thing they have in common is he doesn't know the answer to them. So it's a very good gimmick, because you present the Klal Yisrael 103 questions that don't have an answer. So everyone's going to learn the sefer. Why? You're telling me I can't come up with an answer to that? So there's a kavod de terutz, a kavod de nechus, a kavod de yeshuva. Any word in Hebrew or Aramaic that means answer, a sefer has been printed trying to answer the kavod de kashyasa's question. But not in in his actual tshuvas, in the chalkas yov's tshuvas, in yardes and chattas, he says it's not really a raya. Kuzari just means that the iser bias nida is not on account of her being metame as bo'ala. But it's certainly only usher if she has tumas nida. Meaning, it may be that there is that it's iser v'hetin, but it doesn't mean the Kuzari is going to go as far as Tosfos went, because Tosfos said you could have a din of nida l'chatsa'in, that there could be such a thing as a woman who's tumay in terms of tumas nida, but is mutter to her husband. How do you have such a thing? Tosfos said you have sex veika. Svetzeken or Rosh Hashayachid. So she's Tameh as far as Tumas Nida, but she's Mutter to her husband. Kuzari might not go that far. The Kuzari might be saying what we suggested as the third approach before. That it's true. Only when she is Tameh does the Isser kick in, But the Isser still follows rules of Isser v'Heter, not rules of Tameh Tara. Haraya, even if she's not Mitameh as Ba'ala, or I don't care if she's Mitameh as Ba'ala, because no one cares about Tumah anymore, we're still going to say she's Asa L'Baila. It's not a concern of Tumah that causes the husband not to be with her. Yeah, let me say that again, that's an important way to say it. It's not a concern for his Tumah that creates the Isser for the husband to be with her. It's because the fact that she's tummy generates an isser, and the isser is what stops the husband from being with her. So that's another raya that the Asfandar Raisa brings. Question whether that's really such a great raya. Well, let's leave the Asfandar Raisa for a second and go through the Shittas HaBahag. Rav Elchanan in Kovitz Ha'aris in Simon Lamentes quotes the Shitta of Rabbi Yehuda Igon, which is the Bahag. That a nida l'chatzayin, you can't have nida halfway. How does he know a nida l'chatzayin? So he says it's from Tosos in two places in Shas. Tosos in Yivamas Taf Mem Zayin on Beis, Dibra Maschel from Makom, and Tosos in Yuma Ein Chesem Rav Dibra Maschel Mikam. That Tosos discusses, how do I know nida has to go to the mikvah? I know she has to, she's tamei for X amount of time. I will discuss next year, tomorrow, I guess we're not having shir, but I guess Wednesday shir, we'll discuss, how the timing works out. When she goes to the mikvah. How long she's tameh for. Okay, I know she's tameh for X amount of time. Maybe as soon as she stops bleeding, she's just tahora. Or as soon as that amount of time passes. Right, oh, it's got to be 7 days. Oh, let's say she lives in some far-flung community, there's no mikvah. Maybe she just becomes tahora because it's over. The time limit is over. How do I know she has to go to the mikvah? It sounds like a stupid question because we're so used to the idea of mikvah. But mehechitesi. So says Tosos, Tvilas nida lo kosov krabahedya. It doesn't say it in the pasuk that she has to be tovelas. Upirish Rav Yehuda gon denafgalon bekal v'chomer mi maga'a ditotin tvila. V'kolshken hi atzma. Whoa. How do I know when nida has to go to the mikvah? That which she touches has to go to the mikvah. See, we're not used to this, but they used to bring, like, clothing to the mikvah. A woman was in Nida, and she was wearing clothing. When the Gemara talks about Kalim being put in the mikvah, it's not talking about Tefillas Kalim, unless you're learning that Sugi and Avodah Zarah. But for the most part, when it talks about Kalim being Metar Kalim, it means the woman takes her dress and dips it in the mikvah. So whatever she touches, whatever she was Mitameh, has to go to the mikvah. Not Mestavra, that she's not going to have to go to the mikvah, so it's called V'chomer. If that which she was mitameh has to go to the mikvah, for sure she has to go to the mikvah. That's Rav Yehuda Igon. So what's Rav Elchanan's raya going to be? I want to know, how does Rav Yehuda Igon see this? Does Rav Yehuda Igon see nida l'baila as a function of tumah or as a function of isser? What do you think? Hey, what do you say? I know that a nida has to go to the mikvah because kal v'chomer, the things that she was mitameh have to go to the mikvah. Kemarin kal v'chomer, if nida l'baila has nothing to do with the tumah, right? If nida l'baila is not at all related to the tumah, the whole kal v'chomer is a kal. I understand. She's still going to have to go to the mikvah for her tumah and tahara. But who says she has to go to the mikvah l'baila? Says Rav Elchanan. Maybe in order to be with her husband, I look. If her husband's coming and she wants to eat truma, she's going to have to go to the mikvah. I get that. But who says just in order to be with her husband she has to go to the mikvah? Maybe she doesn't. Elamai, Rav Yehuda Igon assumes that they're one and the same, and if she hasn't been tovelas and she's still tamei l'taros, she must, by definition, also be asur l'baila. That's Rav Elchanan's raya.
Say that again.
Yeah, that Rav Elchanan just brings right. Tosus quotes Rav Yehuda Igon, which we'll call for now the Bahag. Tosus quotes the Bahag that how do I know Anita has to go to the mikvah? So the Bahag says a simple kal v'chomer. If the things that she touches have to go to the mikvah, so of course she has to go to the mikvah. Says Rav Elchanan, that works very well if you're trying to explain why she has to go to the mikvah in order to get rid of her tumah. But how are you going to explain why she has to go to the mikvah in order to be with her husband? If being with her husband is a totally separate din, having nothing to do with tumah, then meichi teishi that she has to go to the mikvah in order to be with her husband. I still don't have a source for that. She wants to eat truma, good, go to the mikvah for that. But to be with her husband, what does that have to do with anything? Elomai, says Rav Elchanan, the Bahag must be assuming that being with the husband is also a function of tumah and tahara. It's also a function of Tumah. Then Rav Chanan says it could be that even the Bahag and Tosfos and Baba Kama agree that really the Isser Bia is a function of the Tumas Nida, like the Bahag. However, the rule of Svek Sveko Betumas Nida maybe could be understood in a way where the Bahag is not against Tosfos. What? What's going on over here? What do we say? Tosfos is the one that said that Tosfos and Baba Kama said that you could have a Nida L'chatzon. Right, she could be a nida for tumantara and not a nida labayla. The Bahag came along and said, oh, "Look, if she has to be tovelas, if that which she touches has to be tovelas because of tumantara, for sure she has to be tovelas for baila." It sounds like baila is a function of tumantara. So says Rav Chanan, a little bit of alumnus. The idea that Svek Sveiko Bereshus HaYachid is Tami. How do you understand Svek Sveiko Bereshus HaYachid Tami? So the Chan says, I have two possibilities. Possibility number one is that that's the rule. The same way something that you know is Tami is Tami. The same way that if you have one Safik Bereshus HaYachid, it's Tami because it's Tami. That's the rule. So Svek Sveiko is Tami. It's like a Vaday Tuma. It's like a Gzeres HaKosuv. That this is Vadei Tamei. What kind, sort of Tumah does it have? Whatever sort of Tumah you thought it has. Whatever sort of Tumah you suspected of having, we view it as a Vadei. We view it as being Tamei. That's one way to understand it. That's the simple way to understand Svek Sveka versus Yafa Tamei. It's just a Gzeres HaKosuv that it has this Tumah. However, Rav Chanan said, it could be that Svek Sveka, Klapei Shamaya Galia, that Svek Sveka, the item is really Tahar. Right? Elamai, the Torah is mechadesh anu tumah. Let's say, I'm not sure if this thing has tumas, this woman has tumas nida. Right? I don't know, does she have tumas nida? Svek Sveka maybe tells you she doesn't have tumas nida. Right? Because Svek Sveka should be enough to tell you that she's not tame nida. But the Torah is mechadesh anu tumah, not called tumas nida, called tumas Svek Sveka. It's a brand new tumah called tumas Svek Sveka. So if you're willing to say such a creative idea, says Rav Chanan, it's true that Tumas Nida always generates an Isser Labayla. But Tumas Svek Sveka maybe doesn't generate an Isser Labayla. All Tosu said is that you can have a woman who's Svek Sveka, she's Tamei. Tumas Nida, she's Tamei, because of Svek Sveka, and she's still Muteris Labayla. That's what Tosu said. But maybe that's because when you're only being metame or mitin svek sveka, it's not tumas nida. It's tumas svek sveka. The Torah is being mechadish, a brand new kind of tumah, called tumas svek sveka. And that maybe has nothing to do with the Issur Labayla. That's how Rav Chanan suggests, a little creative. Problem with the whole Bahag is that it seems that there's a stira in the Bahag. There's a Mishnah Maseches Chagiga, Dav Yud. The Mishnah says that Dinei Tara Yesh LaMamashi Yismochu. That even though it doesn't really say anything about Tumen Tara in the Torah itself, you have what to be Somech Dinei Tumen Tara on in the Torah. Like you could find a remez here and there to Tumen Tara, even though there's nothing in the Torah about Tumen Tara. Okay, so this is Smichus here, right? So like everyone should be like, nothing in the Torah about Tumen Tara? Are you kidding me? Being a member says it would be much easier if that were true. That's clearly not true. So the Gemara says, come on, that's clearly not true. The Gemara says, Dine Tara Michtav Ksivan. Are you kidding me? There's plenty of Tumatara in the Torah. So we've got to know Chumash. I took the guys from Kaili Masmidin this year to Rabbi Saul Reisman. So he was talking to us about the importance of learning Tanakh. And he said he was learning Masechah Sanhedrin of the Chavrusa late into the night. Post Night Seder Chavrusa, when he was like a 20-year-old bachur, he saw Reisman, Rav Shiva Torah Das, very, very prominent Talmud Chacham. So he, mamish, a gonav, really, really special tzaddik also. So he said he was learning, he was 20 years old, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, he was with his Chavrusa, they finally got to Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin. They had been learning Sanhedrin post Night Seder for 2 years or something. And they got to Perek Chelek, and they got to Elu She'en Lem Chelek Olam Abba. And he said, like, there were all these names that he never saw before. Who's Doeg? Who's Achitofel? He said, I heard a Menashe before, but for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why he doesn't have a chelak in Olam Haba. So he said, he looked around the base medrash, and Rabbi Belsky was there. So he asked Rabbi Belsky, like, who are these guys? And he said, Rabbi Belsky made me feel like the biggest idiot in the entire world. So he said, from then on, I had to start learning Tanakh. So he said, he started with those old pink Feldheim, is it Feldheim? No, Judaica Press, right? Tanakh, and he would read one chapter a night. Now he's known as the biggest buggy in Tanakh. You know, he's known as a big Tanakh person, gives a Tanakh shir. But that's how it started, as a 20-year-old, not knowing who Doeg and Achitofel or Menashe, that Menashe was, that's how it started, which is unbelievable. But he said, yeah, now I'm known as big expert in Tanakh. In order to be known as big expert in Tanakh nowadays, you just have to be able to name the Trei Asar. You don't even have to open it up. You just have to be able to name them. And then you're the biggest bucky in Tanakh of our generation. So he didn't, he wasn't impressed with himself that he's known as a bucky in Tanakh. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's no pesach. Yesam amashi smochu. Oh, there's some asmachta. There's some. What do you mean? Michtav ksivan, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is referring to sheer mikvah. How big is a mikvah? That doesn't say. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, the yama bayanama, barom shalosh amos, how much water can you fit in there, 40 sa. It doesn't give any of the measurements of a sheer mikvah in the Torah. So it comes along Tosos over there, Masech Chagiga, and Tosos says, lo havamatzi lemeima lebaila deloksiv kidipirish bahag. The Gemara couldn't just say, well, it doesn't say nida labayla, t'lo nafkal an ela bekal v'chomer, because the Bahag, remember, said that we derive it from a kal v'chomer, dahashta l'taros k'siv v'rachatz, labala d'karis lo kol shkei. That if you have to be mitar her for the different kal v'chomer, that if you have to be mitar her for taros, for sure you have to be mitarah of labayla. What does that mean? Meaning, which is a more severe issur? The issurim that are going to come about because she's tamei, or the issur labayla? Nida labayla, what are you chayiv karis? So by definition, whatever the other issur is less. So if you're going to require it to be mitarah b'mikvah, says the Bahag, you're going to require it to be mitarah b'mikvah for taharos, then for sure you gotta require a Yimitar B'mikvah for Baila. That's what the Tosos quotes the Bahag is saying. And then Tosos rejects that Kal V'chomer. He says, nah, the Halav Milsi, the Ma'ay Kal V'chomer Lomasi Nafik, the Kal V'chomer Prichu, it's not a good Kal V'chomer. For whatever reason. But it sounds like the Bahag is saying that the reason a Nida needs to Vila L'Baila has nothing to do with a Nida L'Chatzayim. It has nothing to do with the fact that Baila is just a totally separate thing. It's based on Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer only works within the same area, right? So what did we say before? We were suggesting that according to the Bahag, Eini de l'chatzai, that it's maybe I'm confused. It's not a stira l'chomer. Right, we were suggesting that the Bahag had said Eini Dilchatzon, that one is a function of the other, right? Because the Bahag is the one that said that we learned from Kal V'chomer Mamaga'a Ditan Tvila Bekol Shkein Hi Atzma, and over here the Bahag is saying, yeah, similar Kal V'chomer, but not from her Maga, but if she requires Tvila L'Taros, then for sure she requires Tvila L'Baila. Unless you say that, no, that Kal V'chomer is suggesting that they're in different categories. That he assumes the reason a Nida needs Tevila L'Baila is not because of the Taharos. Okay. Now, another Raya, Rav Elchanan brings. That's from a Ravid. The Ravid.
There's no stira in it?
What? It doesn't seem that it has to be a stira. Right, you can understand that Bahag in two ways. The Kal V'chomer from Taharos, from being Mitair, from the fact that the Taharos, she requires Tevila, to Baila requiring Tevila, you can understand that it's saying that just like that they're in the same category, that if to touch Truma, she requires Tevila, so the Baila, which is an Isser Karis of that same category, Lokol Shkei, Or you could say no, that it's saying, look, Tum and Tahara is not an Issur Karis. Baila is more severe than Tum and Tahara. So if she requires Tevila for Tum and Tahara, which is not an Issur Karis, for sure Labaila, which is an Issur Karis, and you're saying that they're two separate things. So you can understand that in multiple ways. Then another writing quotes from the Raivi. The Raivi, the Rush in the fourth paragraph of Nida quotes a Raivi, that a Poletas Shechva Zera is only Soseres Sfiras Letaharos, but not Labaila. What does that mean? Poletas Shechva Zera, we're going to learn a lot about. Poletas Shechva Zera means a woman 72 hours after Tashmish. For 72 hours after Tashmish, we assume that there is some Shechva Zera that is still seeping out of her body. So can she be counting seven clean days while there is still some Shechva Zera that is still seeping out of her body? The assumption Chazal have is that for 72 hours after Tashmish, the Shechva Zera is still potent. Once it's no longer potent, it doesn't have a din of Shechva Zera anymore. Right? So she wouldn't have a din of Poleta Shechva Zera anymore. So even if she didn't clean herself out and there's still Shechva Zera seeping out of her body after 72 hours, we ignore that. That's not going to be in time. But for 72 hours, a woman is Poleta Shechva Zera. After Tashmish, there may be Zera that comes out of her body. This is just like a technical thing that happens. A lot of people, when they first get married, they don't realize exactly how this works. I remember a chassan once called me up after getting married. He didn't understand why there was a mess after Tashmish. Meaning he said, isn't that Zera Levatala? I thought it all has to go into the woman and stay in the woman. It doesn't work. She would blow up, right? Meaning it's got to come out, right? It goes in, must come out, except for whatever is going to go and impregnate her, right? Most of it is going to come out. And that's natural. So that when it comes out, that's Poleta Shechva Zera. So can she be counting Shem Nekiyim while she is Poleta Shechva Zera? So the Ravid says that a Poleta Shechva Zera is only Soser for Sfira for Taharus, but it's not Soser for Sfira Levaila. That means that you have a woman who's counting seven clean days. Why is she counting seven clean days? Oh, for a bunch of reasons. She wants to be with her husband. She wants to eat truma, right? So now, on the second day of the seven clean days, right? She's Poleta Shechva Zera. How does that happen on the second day she's Poleta Shechva Zera? Because she had Tashmish just before she became Tameh. Right? She had Tashmish just before she became Tameh. And now, there's Shechva Zera coming out of her body and she's trying to count seven clean days. So are her plans foiled? Is she going to have to start again? So, says the Rav, it depends. As far as Taharos are concerned, her plans are foiled. She's going to have to start again. But she can keep on counting to become Mataris Labayla. That's still going to work. She can still be Mataris Labayla. Wow. What does that tell you? Very clearly like Tosfos, right? That she could be Tameh as far as Tumah and Tahara is concerned, and still be Mataris Labayla. Now the Rush, for his part, disagrees with the Ravid and says that it's Tamua to say such a thing. Because ain't Sfira L'chatzayin. You can't like be counting for one and not for the other. The two are definitely connected. The Rush holds, there's no need to L'chatzayin. Yeah.
Doesn't the Bin Soter, the Sfira, doesn't that depend on the nature of the discharge? Why is it that just because there's Zera pulling out, that would make her all of a sudden...
That's a din called Poleta Shechva Zera. At the very end of Maseches Nida is a whole discussion about Poleta Shechva Zera. So that's Poleta Shechva Zera is not a cause of Tumah, but it is enough to be Soser, that which is occurring. That's the nature of the din of Poleta Shechva Zera. There is a din of, you know, there's a question what exactly the status of Shechva Zera is. I just realized it's late already. Someone just asked me, Shem, I didn't talk about Thursday night. A woman emailed me that she was listening to Daf Yomi Shirim in Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph or something. She says she works in an IVF lab in Israel, and she's working with Zera all day. She's making babies, but like, you know, with a test tube. You know, it's amazing. If you haven't been to one of these, to Shari Tzedek, it's unbelievable. So she's working with Zera all day, and her job is very rote. You know, it's boring. So she listens to Shirim. Then it occurred to her that, like, maybe you're not allowed to listen to Torah in front of, like, exposed Shechva Zera. So she wanted to know, can she still listen to Shira? Interesting question, no? But so that's as far as its status as tzara, right? So when does it have that status of tzara? When does it not have that status of tzara? Okay. So what we've done is we've quoted several different rayos as to whether a nida labayla is a function of isra v'heter or it's a function of tumen tahara. If you want to look further into this topic, there's an important shari yosher of Shimon about this. If you're capable of understanding Rav Shimon, which I am not. Rav Shimon has an interesting piece on this. We'll close with the last piece, and that is the last raya of the Asvan D'Oraisa, where the Asvan D'Oraisa brings the raya from the Aderes Eliyahu in Parsha Shoftim, where the Torah says that a person has to make a judgment sometimes, vein dam ledam, vein din ledin, vein nega lenega. So why do we have those three phrases? Meaning you have to determine what's good, what's not good. What is it? Dam, dam, din, la, din, nega, la, nega? So says the Vilna Gaon that there are three categories of halacha, and they each have their own rules. And the three categories of halacha are, you have bein din, la, din, let's take that one first. Bein din, la, din, that's dine mamonis, very clearly. Bein nega, la, nega, nega tzaras is dine tumentara, which leaves bein dam, la, dam, for Isra Vahet. This is from the Vilna Gaon, it seems that Nida is Isra Vahet. I would suggest, I mean, not because it's necessarily Lalacha, but just because it's very Geshmak, reading through Rav Yosef Engel's piece in Asman Daraisa Chaf Aleph, he also has four rayas over there, whether Nida is a rayos or not. As far as Hilchas Yichud is concerned, but whether Nida is considered, as far as Yahar Val Yavar is concerned. Right, whether Nida is considered to be Arayos or Nida is not considered to be one of the Arayos, that comes up in the context of what he discusses. But no clear resolution, although it seems that the most logical assumption would be that Nida, the Isser element of Nida, only kicks in when she's actually Tamei as Nida, even though we see clearly that there are Rishonim that don't hold that way. The Rabbi doesn't hold that way, and Tosis doesn't hold that way. They both hold that to be Lechatzayim. Bezos Hashem, on Wednesday we're going to start real Hilchos Nida. So what should you be doing during morning Seder? Open up a Torah, Beis Yosef, Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. I will give you a list of Makoros, but I want to hold them back a little bit first so that you can stay focused on what you really should be doing. Right? Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Shach Taz, Pesachuva. You know, and see where that takes you, obviously. But that should be the focus of Seder for the next couple of days and the rest of the year. Okay.